this is the second in a series of messages and creating momentum for our lives, meaning that we're moving forward in faith and our relationships with God as well as with each other and our focus strategies for better living. Michael Slaughter is a retired United Methodist pastor from Tipp City, Ohio. 15 years ago, he wrote a book titled Momentum for Life. It has been helpful to many people, but he wrote it for himself. The subtitle is Biblical Practices for Sustaining Physical Health, Personal Integrity, and Strategic Focus. DRIVE, D-R-I-V, is an acronym which Pastor Slaughter came up with as he recognized after many years of marriage and ministry, his life was not really in drive. He wasn't moving forward in life. His relationship with God had suffered, though he had been in ministry for many years. He had gone through many years of turmoil in his marriage and wanted to renew that important covenant relationship based on God's presence to both his wife and himself. And Michael also recognized that his body had suffered through years, decades of neglect. Last week I briefly shared with you the concept of DRIVE. Is the foundation of Pastor Slaughter's Momentum for Life concept. The D for DRIVE stands for devotion to God. R stands for readiness for lifetime learning. I denotes investing in key relationships. V indicates vision for the future. And E stands for eating and exercise. And today we're going to focus on the R of DRIVE, readiness for lifelong learning. So if you haven't already, you can take out your message notes and begin to follow along, and let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, how many of you know the familiar phrase that necessity is the mother of invention? You've heard that before, right? It's a common saying. In a day and age marked, though, with so much innovation and technology, that phrase may have slipped into some obscurity. It means, I mean, in this day and age, do we need an app for absolutely everything in life? Apparently we do. Everything. Name something, there's an app for it. The phrase necessity is the mother of invention was common, though, in its usage in England in the 16th century, although it was in Latin. And it was also found in Plato's Republic, but translations of that classic work were not in English until long after its common usage in England, so it's probably more of the work of a translator than Plato himself. And some of you baby boomers may remember the name of Frank Zappa's first jazz rock band in 1964, named Mother of Invention. I relate this chestnut of a saying to the concept of readiness for lifelong learning because if we are to live our lives marked by a faith that is relevant and meaningful throughout our lives, then we need innovation and the spirit of inventiveness. Sort of like having to light the orange candle on the other candles rather than by the thing. Necessity is the mother of invention. I learned this early in my ministry when I realized the diverse competencies that were required for full-time ordained ministry, from administrative savvy to interpersonal relationships to the arts of communication and a whole host of other organizational proficiencies. And ministry as a vocation is not so different from other works, all of your works. There are many diverse skills required in order to succeed in any line of work. It's beneficial for a person to have at least a few competencies required of them to work well, to be a jack of all trades, if you will, pun intended. And by the way, the master of none phrase, the second part of that phrase, was meant to clarify the phrase jack of all trades because it was definitely not meant to be a compliment. So my history is that after seminary, I was appointed to associate pastor at Grosse Pointe United Methodist Church. You know, 7 years of school behind me, ready to work in ministry, do the Lord's will. I was responsible for ministry with youth along with Christian education and evangelism. I spent time attending youth ministry seminars and workshops in order to increase my competency in that specialized ministry. And after a while, I became interested in learning more about preaching. And so when a preacher from a seminary came to our conference and offered a workshop, I took part in it, even though I wasn't preaching very often. I was preaching about 15 times a year, but basically once a month, a little extra. A few years later, I became interested in business and organizational management, and so I went to school and got my MBA from Wayne State, enjoyed that little journey. Since that time, in the mid-1990s, I attended a workshop on long-term pastorates. I attended a seminar in Chicago for that with a bunch of colleagues from our conference here, including my predecessor here at Central Church, Jim Kellerman. I've attended workshops on stewardship, human relationships and sexuality, evangelism and congregational growth, and transitioning church models depending on size. And you've done this as well in your places of work, to keep moving forward in your excellence. My biggest foray into education and self-development was the doctoral program in spiritual formation that I did here in your midst. In May of 2017, thanks to this church, and specifically to Dr. Ernie Barler, who became one of my advisors. A year ago this month, I attended a workshop in Intentional Interim Ministries, which is a certificate program from Perkins School of Theology. I just share that as an example of something that I share with many people, and that is an interest in lifelong learning, not so different from what all you have needed to do in order to keep your licenses and your certificates and everything that you have to do in order. You attend seminars and workshops to develop the skills you need to do your job. And I hope you do it for yourself as a means of growing within your field of study, but I also hope that you mean it just to be a more excellent person for yourself and for the sake of those with whom you work. Mike Slaughter writes this, quote, "The sister of creativity is excellence. God worked 6 days, and at the end of every day, he said, that is good. At the end of the sixth day, the last day of creation, however, God said, that is very good. God did not stop working when it was good, but only when it was deemed very good." End quote. Our God is a God of excellence. Striving for excellence imitates our Creator God and honors not only God, but the ministry to which each of us is called, to the vocations to each of us that each of us find ourselves in. Now, I know that some of you are saying, my time for striving toward excellence in ministry and the work of God in the world is done. I'm over. I've done my time. Well, just remember Michelangelo at the age of 59 learned a new method of painting so that he could paint the creation of Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Colonel Harlan Sanders began Kentucky Fried Chicken when he was 66 years old. Our last two presidents were elected when they were 70 and 78. President Trump is 78 when he took office this past Monday. Ronald Reagan was elected to his first term as president at 69 and ended his term at the age of 77. Golda Meir became prime minister of Israel at 71. And Nelson Mandela became the first black president of South Africa when he was 75 years old, after being in jail for 27 years. John Glenn, at the age of 77, made his second trip into outer space. Ben Franklin was 81 when he was elected to the U.S. Constitutional Convention. Paul Harvey broadcasted his radio program, very popular in this area, well into his 80s. Strom Thurmond completed his eighth term as a United States Senator at the age of 100. These people were lifelong learners who possessed that never-leave-school mentality. They chose to use rather than lose their abilities, employ them in new and different ways. The process that I described to you, the learning of various disciplines, is what I've called over the years a process of remaking. Remaking ourselves is what I call learning and honing a new skill required for the situation in which we find ourselves working or just living life. It involves recreating ourselves in ways that reflect the needs of the church and or conference ministry to which I am committed and the workplaces that in which you work. Sometimes it means reading a book or a new Bible study in order to facilitate a class or a retreat experience. At other times it means attending a workshop so that we can learn new skills. For me, new systems and skills of ministry. this remaking process intersects with the practice of renewing our minds. They go hand in hand. Paul wrote to the people of Rome, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." It is the renewing of our minds that transforms our lives. Paul had already appealed to the Romans to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, as a means of living fully for Christ, who gave his life for us, that we might live fully for him. Paul asked first for the offering of our lives, and then second, Paul asked us to offers the insight that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God is always working toward excellence. I asked you last week when I introduced this series of message, when talking about lifelong learning, I asked, so what are you reading? You know, in what classes or experiences are you participating? In what ways are you renewing your mind so that your very life can be transformed? There are many opportunities for you to engage in this renewing of your minds here at Central Church. We approach the season, as we approach the season of Lent, in a couple weeks there will be offerings of classes that help you connect with God and others. Coach Patty is doing a class on 8 TLCs, how to care for yourself, how to care for others. Learning should be a lifetime, and here at Central Church there are plenty of opportunities to get involved. Now, I've talked about remaking ourselves and renewing our minds so that our lives can be transformed. There is a third aspect of lifelong learning I'd like to share with you, and that's receptivity. When you realize the necessity of remaking and renewing your mind and your life, you become more aware of the opportunities that are around you. You become more receptive to God's presence and guidance, whether through private Bible reading or study, or meditation, or through the affirming words of others. Paul tells us that the reason our lives should be transformed, he's very clear about this, so that you may discern the will of God and do that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Not perfection in terms of being without flaw, but perfect in love and compassion for others, for yourself, for the world, to be perfect in love. We often quote Paul as saying, pray without ceasing. What I've always taken away from that advice is that we are to be constant in the awareness of God's presence and guidance. This last week, I was contacted by a fellow graduate of my high school. He's studying in a preaching class at the church where he is attending. And he said, you know, you've been in ministry a long time. I'm supposed to interview somebody who's been in ministry for a while and what their preaching is, how you put sermons together. And I said, the first thing is be aware. Be aware of the world around you. I gave him the very concrete example of driving around one day and hearing Queen's We Are the Champions. And I listened to the words. I've sung that song 1,000 times. I listened to the words and I thought, huh, that's the story of Jesus' life and resurrection. You may not have seen it. I didn't see it before then. But the idea, you know, I've committed no crime. I've done my time. I've done nothing wrong. And yet, he talks about himself and giving a sacrifice. And you may remember I did a sermon on this. But when he gets to the refrain, he talks, we are the champions. So Christ laid down his life for us so that together we can proclaim, we are the champions. You know, Jesus didn't say, I'm the champion. He said, we are the champion of the world. Remember Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome this world. I think there's implied in there, and I'll teach you how to overcome it as well. So we've talked about remaking and renewal, receptivity, and this might be a good time to say and to be clear about that this process, friends, is not easy. It requires dedication and determination and planning. I'm sharing this series of messages with you early in the year so that we might look forward to a greater year of productivity and living life to its fullest in 2025, to literally, if you like rhyme, to come alive in 25. It's time to be clear that this is not an easy process. So think about our other scripture we read this morning from Genesis. Thank you for reading it, Pam. But this scripture about Jacob, who's wrestling with a man, quotation marks. There are many different interpretations of just who this man is, but most Jewish and Christian interpretations say this is an angel of the Lord, maybe the Lord himself. This being present, this represents this being, that is that of the man, the angel, represents Jacob's internal struggle within himself. Because Jacob had a checkered past. You might remember that he cheated his twin but older brother out of his birthright. He'd been a scallywag for quite a while. And Jacob had been away from the land occupied by his ancestors and currently led by his brother Esau. And Jacob is planning to return to his home to make peace with his brother, to come back into the fold, if you will. And he has sent a boatload of gifts to Esau, and then he's going out to meet him. And we read that, but first he sent him a bunch of gifts, he protected his wife, and then he was alone in the wilderness. And there he struggles in the middle of the night with this man, this angel, and struggles with him all night long. And during this wrestling match, the angel strikes Jacob on his hip and putting his hip out of joint. And they continue to wrestle until the angel pleads for Jacob to let him go. And Jacob says, "Nah, not until you bless me. You're going to bless me first." And the angel blesses Jacob. Jacob lets him go, and Jacob walks away from that struggle limping. He's limping. In other words, his life was changed. So it's commonly believed that this struggle represents Jacob confronting his inner demons, his desire to change. And it was painful. It was necessary. It was a necessary struggle. And Jacob walks away from that struggle truly changed. His limp is evidence of that changed life. We must be receptive to new ideas, possibilities, and routines that will lead us forward in our momentum for life. We know this up here, but do we know it in our calendars and in our hearts and with others as a support system, your team that you build to make changes in your life? How will you walk away from your struggles a changed person? So remake, renewal, receptivity. I have one more element of lifelong learning to share with you. And what letter do you think it begins with? R. It's R. Of course, the four elements of life-changing learning is also, the fourth element is rest. We need to take care of ourselves in a process of change. I think that's how we get discouraged. I read at the beginning of this year that most people break there's a day of the year where most people break their New Year's resolutions. It's the second Friday of the year. Had you ever heard that? The second Friday of the year. I don't know if it's at the end of the week, the weekend's coming, you're looking forward to some things, and darned if I'm going to have a piece of cake this weekend, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to whatever it is that you're working on. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get back to my old ways. So we need to rest, though. We need to be refreshed bodily to be able to enact change in our lives. You know, there's a story of two lumberjacks in a competition to see which of them is the better woodcutter. And one of them was certain that he would win because he was the younger of the two. Appeared stronger than his opponent. He was even more certain once the contest began. And every time he looked over at his opponent, his opponent, the older gentleman, was sitting with his axe between his legs. And he says, "Wow, I'm just gonna really do well here." And he was incredulous when he had lost the competition. And the other man, the older man, cut more wood. And he said, the younger man said, I don't understand how you can cut more wood than me. Every time I looked over at you, you had your axe between your legs." And the older gentleman said, "Well, you see, when I had the axe between my legs, I was sharpening it. Sharpening it." Being a lifelong learner involves constantly sharpening the tools we need to accomplish our goals so that we can achieve our maximum momentum. We need rest so that we can be sharp and prepared for the challenge of working for our Creator, God. And I'm well aware that those those who wish to put their lives in drives are often driven, but there's a reason why the 23rd Psalm says about God and how God says to us, He makes you lie down in green pastures. He makes you to lie down. So what do you need to remake and renew your life? What do you need to become more receptive to God's guidance, direction and guidance in your life? The challenge for each of us is to find ways in which we connect more fully with God and with others so that we can change the world with Christ's love. Our mission statement is not just a bunch of words on that we print in our bulletins every week. They are in themselves representative of a pathway toward putting your life in drive. So what steps do you really need to take to be a lifelong learner? And finally, are you ready? See, the second Friday has already passed. Now we can just be all new and say, we're here. Now it's time to put it in gear and move forward in drive. And that's the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.